Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to this episode. And this week we are talking about what can you do when you're feeling really anxious. So whether it's your experience of anxiety is something you have a diagnosed condition with, on medication for, or whether you just feel like you have these periods of feeling really anxious, something, maybe it's a new experience to you, you've never really experienced much of anxiety and now you suddenly are, or a bit more like me, you've been struggling with it for years. This episode is for you. I'm going to be talking about all the different things, just some of the things you can focus on if you feel like this experience of anxiety has ramped up. And the reason I want to chat about it is just because it's been something I've been experiencing more of the past couple of months. So I dive in a little bit more into that, what that is, what I've been doing, why I think that's been happening, all of that kind of juiciness. So that's what we're talking about this week. And yeah, it's a real life in the moment. This is what's happening for me just now kind of episode. So I hope you enjoy it. And there's also some really practical, good practical stuff going on there as well. Otherwise, other updates from that, other than being experiencing more anxiety, I mean, life here is pretty good. That sounded really unconvincing, didn't it? Pretty good. Just crumbling apart. No. 2020 so far has we're just having a kind of slow start to it. Thankfully the anxiety I've talked about experiencing in this episode is kind of slowly sorting itself out, which is good. And I actually feels like it's something that is I am going through and can see the other end, which is really positive. And it's definitely not been as bad as it has been in the past, which is super helpful. But otherwise, yeah. Milan's just started nursery a little bit more, which is exciting. So that also actually means I have a little bit more time for new clients. So I've just come to the end of working with a couple of clients. So if you are thinking, and have been thinking probably for a while, oh, maybe I should chat with Kezia. I just need some help. I just need some clarity. I'm just a bit overwhelmed by all the different things you say. How do I actually do this? I need some accountability, some support in order to sort out my belly, sort out my bloating, sort out this condition, rheumatoid arthritis or PCOS or whatever it is, then I would love to work with you. I work with women and some men who are fed up, are feeling tired and bloated, and they want to feel good when they get dressed in the morning. They want to wake up feeling good, and they know that what they eat and how they live is affecting, but they have no idea what to do about it all. That's where I come in. And that's when you work with me for 3 months, we dive in deep. You spend 3 months with me really closely, working together, chatting all the time, getting all the help, voice notes, whatever. So if you want to find out more about that, you can just go to keziahall.com and click the work with me page and you can book a call. You can find out all the pricing, information, all of that stuff there. So if you're ready to just go, yes, I'm in. And it can feel scary. I was chatting to a client about this the other day. In choosing to invest in yourself, like I talked about in the kind of body image episode, can feel quite frightening. You can feel like resistance to it. Everything in your body can make you, like recently, as a good example of this, I just have been investing in a couple more private tests just to check how things are going. I recently bought myself a really good sleep tracker to because I suspect my REM sleep is maybe not as optimal as it could be. These different things. I've recently just made some more investments in my own health and well-being. Because I probably spend multiple thousands every year on mine and our family's health and well-being, because I think it's the best return on your investment that you can actually have. But it's so easy to get that resistance. Like I even did it with a test I ordered the other day just to map out my gut microbiome, you know, as you do. And I was like, oh, it was only 100 quid because it was on offer. But I was like, I could buy some swimming lessons or something like this with Merlin. But I was like, what's the point in me going friggin' swimming lessons with Merlin if I am not feeling good? like, and so often we get this resistance before we invest in ourselves in any way, whether it's going to see a therapist, working with me, whatever that looks like, we get that resistance. But the resistance is often the very sign that it's time to do something. So don't let the fear or this sense of resistance towards change before working with me or going and seeing a physio or going and getting therapy or whatever the thing is, don't let that resistance hold you back. It's often the very encouragement, the very thing that happens just before you break through, that happens just before you kind of hit that breakthrough point. So I encourage you, whatever it is, you might be feeling resistance about going to that new yoga class that you know is around the corner, but you don't know anyone and it just feels kind of scary, but you know you want to do it, but it feels really scary. That's a small example. Or it might be working with me or another expert or getting therapy and committing to that every week, you know, where you're just like, I can't afford it, or I should put this money into this, or whatever it is. That resistance is real, and it often means actually it's ready, that you're literally on the brink of transformation. So I just encourage you. I was chatting with that, and I'm aware of that in my own life when I often feel that resistance. Like I've been in therapy now for nearly a year. There is no, I so didn't want to go. I still don't want to go every week. It feels like a waste of money. I should be spending on something else, blah, 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 blah. But actually, I know that that resistance means I'm on the edge of the breakthrough, and I am, and that is happening. And I see that all the time. So feel the fear, acknowledge it, and see it as a sign to do something, not to not do it. And if that includes working with me, head over, book your call. I've got spaces for new clients because I've just finished up with a couple of clients who have seen some phenomenal results, which is super exciting. One of my clients came to me with lots of complex things going on, various health diagnoses from IBS to hyperthyroidism and PCOS, and various, probably 5, 6, 7 different diagnoses and medications and things going on, had felt really, really stuck. She mainly wanted to focus on her IBS, and has just been actually really amazed that things have really shifted and made a difference. Or another client, so in terms of her bloating, her toilet, and is just steadily making progress. Or another client that came to me with chronic diarrhea and really, really struggling with that, and within a couple of weeks making huge shifts and feeling like she's having normal bowel movements. Or another client recently who I just chatted with the other day has been bloated for 30 years, tried lots of things, had done a lot of the inner work actually, and invested in things like her mindset and therapy and that sort of stuff, but just literally couldn't shift the bloat and was constipated. Again, a couple of weeks working together, no longer bloated. And she's like, oh my goodness, this has been bothering me for 30 years. And all it took was this personalized plan that I created for her. And within about 12 to 14 weeks, she was feeling a lot better. So it is possible for you, okay? Otherwise, okay, let's get on with today's show, where we're talking all about what to do when that anxious part of you rises up and you feel a bit stuck and you feel anxious about being anxious and you don't know what to do. Here are some of my go-to things that work really well that I've used for myself and that I often recommend to clients, because a lot of clients come to me feeling a bit anxious and a bit depressed. So enjoy this episode, and I hopefully go onto my website, book your call with me. I'd love to chat with you. I do honestly love talking to real people, guys. I do love this podcast. But it's always fun to chat in person. Anyway, enjoy the podcast. And just as a quick note before we dive on in, do make sure if you suddenly have been experiencing a lot of anxiety or really struggling with your mental health, do go and get help with it. Go and chat to your GP. There is support out there. These things that I'm talking about here are not meant to be, do these instead of getting conventional medical support. They are more to integrate along with any other support that you seek out. So if you are really struggling, go and ask for help. Tell someone you love that you're struggling, and then go book that appointment with your primary care doctor, your GP, and talk it through. Okay, just want to make that really clear, put it out there. Love you. So this week, we're talking about anxiety. Now, that's just my coffee cup in the background. I recently bought some new mugs. Does anyone else just feel like life is so much better when they have a really good mug? As in like a teacup or a mug. I honestly feel if I have a satisfying mug, life just feels good. Step one of what to do about anxiety. buy yourself some good mugs. I understand that's probably a particular weirdness of myself, but you know, there we go. Anxiety. So I want to talk about this because it is something I have experienced my whole life. Probably from about age 6. High levels of anxiety and anxious experiences going on in my brain. And recently, in the last, let's just say, I don't know, 6-9 months, it has, actually probably less than that, probably more like 4 months, it has definitely increased. So in terms of these experiences of feeling anxious and all of that sort of stuff, and I know why, and I'll explain a little bit about that in a minute. But what I wanted to talk about was, what do you do when you are feeling really anxious? So for some of you listening, you might have specific diagnosed anxiety disorders. Others of you listening might just be like, oh, I just get a bit anxious sometimes and I don't really enjoy it. Others of you might be on medication. This might be a big area and you relate. You're like, yes, I felt like this since I've been a child. And for others of you, this might be new. You might like, I had a client last year who was like, Kezia, I am suddenly this anxious wreck of a person. And she was like, I've never been that my whole life. She's like, I've always like looked at people who've been anxious and not really like had compassion, but never understood, because she just never experienced it until suddenly her thyroid went out, her periods went wonky. And then she suddenly started getting really anxious. And so we worked together and sorted that out. And it's now much better, just in terms of summarizing. But it can happen. So what can you do? What can one do when feeling anxious? Well, the first thing is, I've already done an episode, episode 56 of what to eat when you're depressed and anxious. So do make sure you give that a listen. I will link to that in the show notes. If you haven't listened to that, I talk specifically more just about like foods, things that can really help. And today, what I'm going to talk a little bit more about is stuff to do, like what to focus on. What have I been doing in the past couple of months as I felt this experience of anxiety ramping up? What have I been doing with that? What have I been aware of? What have I been just being intentional about and taking action on, or just having as a bit of a focus? So anxiety. Now, first thing, you may notice I use my wording around anxiety quite intentionally. I have not said I am an anxious person, have I? No. It's something I used to say a lot, because I've experienced anxiety basically my entire existence. So it would be easy for me to think that it's just who I am. I am just an anxious person. It's part of my identity. But for me personally, now you can assess this for yourself. For me personally, that takes me into victim powerless mode. I'm just an anxious person. There's nothing I can do, instead of detective mode. I feel I've got experiences of anxiety. Okay. Anxiety is a symptom of the brain. It's a part of the brain. Certain sets of biochemistry that results in a feeling that we call anxiety. Okay, like all of the symptoms in the body, why am I experiencing this? Which is a really different approach to, this is just the way that I am. I'm just a creative, anxious person, and I will be for the rest of my life. That, do you see that difference? So I really encourage you to just look at anxiety differently. Now, you might have an anxiety disorder, you might have had that for a long time. So I'm not saying you ignore that diagnosis or whatever it is that's going on. I'm just inviting you to just think about, first of all, assess the language that you use. So I've been really intentional about using the idea of experiencing this anxiety, that it is, because it is real. Also, you don't want to be like, la 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 la, I'm not anxious, la 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 la, when actually you are, because that's bullshit. Like, you actually want to acknowledge, give permission for all that you feel, all the symptoms, all the awfulness that anxiety can bring. Like, and it can be awful. Like, it can stop you wanting to leave the house. It can make you feel like the world is literally ending. It can make you overthink things that you don't even know, and that you're so exhausted and stressed by breakfast, just by the amount of decisions you've had to make by like 9 a.m. that you can't even imagine doing the rest of the day, because you're like, oh my goodness, just been so anxious just getting to like 8 o'clock in the morning. How am I going to cope with the rest of the day? I get the feelings. It can be a lot. But really thinking about how the language that you use can be really, really helpful around that, especially if it's something you've experienced for a long time. It's real. There is permission for it to be the way that it is. But equally, it's not necessary. You're not a victim. The experience of anxiety can be real, is real. But that does not mean you are victim to that experience. What that experience is an invitation. It's a symptom of some bigger problems going on. And we get this invitation of, okay, well, just a bit more detective work. Honestly, if I had to think of another name for my job, another job title for myself other than holistic nutritionist, it would be like chief health detective. I mean, people would think that's a bit weirder, but honestly, I think so much of our job here on earth is just to like be a detective about ourselves. And then that helps us to serve other people. Like, I'm not all, oh, just focus on yourself. No. I actually focus on my health, my mental well-being, my physical well-being, my spiritual well-being, because I know it enables me to love and serve the people around me. But like, I couldn't do this podcast if my mental health was in the toilet, which it literally used to be, but with my chronic diarrhea in the past. But I'm such a funny nutritionist. More my poo jokes. Anyway, I couldn't do it then. So in order for me to serve the thousands of people that listen to this podcast, which, by the way, thanks for listening, guys, all across the world as well. I mean, amazing. Literally just me here in my office talking to myself. But I love it that this is helping and serving so many people, because I love to do it. But I do that. The reason I can impact this many people is because I look after myself. I couldn't do this otherwise. Okay, so what do we do? Whether you've been experiencing anxiety your whole freaking life, or whether it's a new experience, or it just comes on and off, maybe it's to do with your cycle. A lot of women will experience more anxiety the last kind of 10, 14 days leading up to the bleeding part of their period. Some people, it's not to do with their cycle at all. It's just always the same level, wake up every day. Brrr. I often think about, I describe to my therapist the feeling of anxiety as just this like constant, like a ringing. Like, that's how it feels. It's just like this, like, I, you know how people have that ear ring in the ear, which thankfully I do not have. That anxiety often just feels like going on all the time. But for other people, it comes and goes, swings, roundabouts, whatever. So what do you do? What have I been doing? Well, I suppose number one is I went to therapy. I'm not gonna talk more. I will at some point talk more about therapy, because that actually was the catalyst for this new kind of wave of anxiety. And I'm sure I'll go into depth at some point, but I'm not gonna go into now. So, but because for me, I'd been anxious for a long time, and actually all these things that I've told you that I'm gonna tell you to do, I've been doing, and the anxiety wasn't going away. So I've been eating well, sorting out my gut health, all the things I've been telling you to focus on, I've been doing. So I was totally stumped at why I was still having these experiences. Yep, it was much less. It was so much more manageable, but it was still something I was managing. Now that's the difference. It was still something I was using these tools to manage. It was like this kind of beast that I had in control, sort of, but it would still pop out and rear its ugly head. Where for me, from my, you know, if I, when I'm working with clients from a different perspective, say, we're not necessarily always looking at managing symptoms. We're actually looking at why those things are there. So that's why I want to go to therapy. I want to know why they were there. And as part of that process, I often say to my clients, sometimes things get worse before they get better, especially if we're doing like a gut cleanse when someone has diarrhea or constipation, or, you know, things can get worse before they get better. It's part, can be part of that healing process. So just to put it out there, therapy, I love psychotherapy or therapies that go more into the root cause. You might have, if you know that you have traumatic memories, you might have things like EMDR or other stuff. But just to put that out there, really, really useful to do. It's not a weakness going to therapy. It's not necessarily easy. It's not fun. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not like, woohoo, I'm going to go to therapy. I'd literally rather clean the toilet or I don't know, do the laundry, which I hate. I hate doing laundry. I don't ever do the laundry. I absolutely hate it. But it's worth doing. Okay, but what other things you can do? Okay, so when you're feeling these experiences of anxiety, we've already talked about how we talk about it, how we frame it. So do bear that in mind. But here are some other practical things. Number one is your sleep. It's really easy. I've chatted with lots of clients when they feel really anxious. Often they can get more anxious at night. They don't want to go to sleep. They wake up. They may be having bad dreams, those kind of things. So sleep can be an issue, but you need to make sure you get good quality sleep and that you get to sleep. I do not want you sitting up, just numbing out in front of screens and falling asleep in front of the TV. That is setting you up for really poor quality sleep. Now, don't beat yourself up. If you like to go to bed, I have a client that often goes to bed at 1 a.m. and will wake up at 9 p.m. In terms of that's how a schedule, that works for his schedule. That's totally fine. You do not necessarily, ideally, you want to be going to bed earlier, but everyone has slightly different rhythms. So if you just go to bed best at midnight, fine. Don't beat yourself up about it, but make sure you're getting a good amount of sleep. And that you are not having screens in your room, that you don't have lights on, ideally. If you can't go to sleep with the lights off because you're scared or it makes you anxious, it could be an invitation to go and explore that with a therapist. So you need to be sleeping in a dark place. No electric alarms, no lights, no standby lights from TVs, literally nothing. You want your room to be a cave where if you get up in the night, you cannot see anything because it is so dark. Okay, so that's the first thing. Sleep. We need to prioritize sleep. So for me, I generally am pretty hot on the sleep front, but to take it a step further, I used some of my Christmas money to buy myself the best sleep tracking device that you can get on the market outside of going into hospital and doing a sleep study. So I bought something called an Oura Ring. It's pretty expensive. Well, kind of. It's like £250. I think that was expensive. But I've wanted one for years, and it's one of the best slash easiest and most convenient way to actually track your sleep. So I have taken that step further, and I'm now tracking my deep sleep, my REM sleep, and my light sleep so that I can really hone in on it. You don't need to go as geeky as that. I am full on health geek. I want to know exactly. Now my husband asks me in the morning, how's your sleep? And I'll be like, well, honey, I actually only got 45 minutes of REM sleep. I need to work on that, which I do. My REM sleep is poor, which I suspected. Anyway. But quality sleep by sleeping in a dark room. Also, what can help, don't, unless you're really hungry, don't eat before going to bed. Ideally, give your body about 2 hours break. You don't want to eat a meal and go to sleep just to end in terms of helping your quality, but really prioritizing your sleep. If you have small children or insomnia or any other kind of sleep disturbances, whatever it takes for you to get some sleep, do it. If that's medication, do it. Go and see your doctor about that. Obviously, don't self-prescribe with sleeping things here. Just be sensible. Go to the doctor. If you're really struggling with sleep, medication can be really helpful. You just need to get some sleep. If you have a small child, you might need to get a babysitter, sleep during the day. When my son was small, and you know, those early stages where you're like up every 3 hours, once it got to the point where he would sleep well from like 8 until maybe 1 in the morning, like that kind of stretch, I would literally feed him at 7 o'clock, go to bed so that I could get a good chunk of sleep. Do whatever you can. Get help, get babysitters, sleep in the afternoon if you're at that kind of stage, because a lack of sleep will be contributing to that anxiety. I think that's why so many new mums can get that postpartum anxiety, because there's just, everything has just gone to absolute explosion. So sleep, really, really important. Number two is blood sugar. Really important. Now, I talked about this in episode 56 about what to eat when you're depressed and anxious. But if your blood sugar, so the amount of glucose in your blood at any one time, is more like a roller coaster than a steady wave, then you will really struggle with your mood. Your brain will actually not be as stable, because a lot of the food that you eat will be glucose in the blood in order to actually serve and fuel your brain. So if your brain at any point catches on that you get this drop of blood glucose, it actually is really stressful to that brain function. Now, that's all super simplistic language, but that's all we really need to know right now. So it's really important that when it comes to your blood sugar and your insulin management, that instead of a roller coaster up and down, you've got more of a steady wave. Now, this is really important for prevention of future diseases and Alzheimer's and mood and weight loss, but really important for your mood, for any kind of depression and anxiety. We all know people or have experienced ourselves that hangry feeling where you're so hungry and angry. So that's a really tangible example of how your blood sugar impacts your behavior and mood and how your brain and your feelings, because you get angry. So it's a similar thing. If you think about your blood sugars consistently all over the place, it can contribute to those experiences of anxiety. So how do we keep a steady blood sugar? You want to be eating breakfast within an hour of waking up, ideally hour and a half maximum. And you want your breakfast to have things like protein and fat in. So no porridge made with water and bananas in. That is very little protein, very little fat. But you might make porridge made with some creamy coconut milk from a can where you add some walnuts and maybe some almond butter to the mix. That would add in a bit more protein and fat. Eggs, a great breakfast to have. You might have an omelet in the morning, scrambled eggs. People are always like, I don't have time to make eggs in the morning. I think you do. You are the master of your time. Just putting it out there. Or a smoothie in the morning. Or I have clients, maybe their morning is pretty hectic, so they make stuff in advance the night before and they just take it with them to the office. Or I have a client who had five kids. And so you can imagine five kids on a school run, pretty hectic. So she would just make herself my supercharged hot chocolate, which had some fat and a bit of protein in to have on the school run with a banana. Just so there's loads of ways around this, but you need to have some sort of fat and protein in the morning that really, really helps, okay? To stabilize your blood sugar. And I also talk about this a little bit more in episode 56. Okay, other things that you can do when you are starting to feel more anxious is also just know that you're not alone and let people know. So often we can feel quite ashamed if we experience anxiety, especially if we don't feel like we have any real reason why, if that makes sense. Like you can be feeling anxious and you're like, but Kezia, I've got nothing to be anxious about. I'm so hashtag blessed. You can feel guilty about those experiences and you don't need to tell everyone, but I really encourage you just to tell a couple of people close to you. Maybe it's a partner and your best friend. Just let them know. Just say, hey, I've really been struggling recently with just feeling more anxious. I just wanted you to know I'm finding it hard. Just communicate it because you're not alone. Okay. That's just, it's a small point, but it does make a big, big difference. Or it might mean that you do go and you start getting some counseling and therapy. Whatever, that's another extension of that. Okay, so that is point number four. I'm going to write them down in my notes. So we've talked about sleep, we've talked about blood sugar, knowing you're not alone. And then the other thing is gut health. So a lot of what we know about depression and anxiety, we understand, you know, most of us have heard of this idea of neurotransmitters, these kind of like proteins, shall we say, that kind of go around the body and send messages and help our brain. And we have this idea that neurotransmitters play a role in our mood. Let's just keep it super basic. There's lots of neurotransmitters, serotonin, melatonin, is melatonin just a hormone? Anyway. It's really important that in order for you to have healthy neurotransmitters, that you also have healthy gut. Now, again, I think I talked about this in episode 56, and you might be like, oh gosh, because you talk about the gut and digestion all the time. Yes, yes, I do. And the reason for that is because it is the foundation of everything. Let's put it this way, the clients I work with, when there is any anxiety or depression or any kind of mental health issues, there is nearly always some optimizing of gut function that needs to happen. For example, 80% of your serotonin production happens within your gut because serotonin isn't just about like feeling happy or whatever. It's also about your actual gut function. Serotonin within the gut plays a really important role in terms of the movement and digestive process within your intestines. It's not just like a one trick pony. Oh, I'm all about happiness. Serotonin has multiple effects on the body, and its production is primarily in the gut because it supports that digestive process. That's maybe why when you start an SSRI, so your kind of more typical, most commonly prescribed antidepressants, often people get a lot of gastrointestinal issues within the first couple of weeks because it's changing that kind of gut landscape because serotonin plays such an important role there. So it's really important. If you're struggling with anxiety, just think the easiest thing to check in is, how's your poo? Are you pooing every day, normally, boringly? Is your poo hard, like pellet-like, or soft and watery? Check in with your poo. That's a really great a really great check-in for how your gut is doing. The next good check-in is just like bloating. Do you feel bloated often? Because that could be a sign your digestion is off. But I would also argue your poop might be fine. You might never get bloated. But if you are regularly experiencing anxiety, I would suspect, as a holistic nutritionist, that there's probably some optimization that needs to happen in your gut health. That's why things like some probiotics can be helpful. And I'd really recommend you introduce some probiotic foods, things like sauerkraut, kefir, kombucha, some naturally fermented foods into your day to just help get some good bacteria. And you might want to look at getting a decent probiotic. There's lots of great ones out there. But it's really, really helpful supporting your gut health. Now, gut health is not just adding probiotics. If you have got gut infections, IBS, you're bloated regularly, your poo's all over the place, you're going to need more than just adding in a probiotic. Supplements are not the quick fix, putting it out there, but just that awareness in terms of what to do. Think, okay, how is my gut health? Because it really plays a huge role in terms of your mental well-being. That's not just my opinion. That's really clear now in the research. We really know that oh so clearly in terms of your kind of digestive health, your gut microbiome, the diversity and health of your kind of bacterial landscape within you affects your mental well-being. So really, really important that you look and just consider gut health as well. The next thing that we really, really want to look at when it comes to what you can do if you're feeling anxious. The final point is assess your relationship with caffeine and sugar. Now, I talked about this in episode 56, but it's important to reiterate, if you are regularly feeling really anxious, having lots of cups of tea or cups of coffee every day might not be serving you because it's going to fire up your adrenals, your adrenaline, and you potentially, if you're anxious, you might already have enough of that going on. So it's really, really important that you just assess that relationship. You might want to experiment just switch to decaf coffee and decaf tea for a while. See how you feel. See it as an experiment. I'm not saying you're never going to have coffee again or never going to have tea. I'm asking and inviting you to just see what feels best for your body. For me, if I were to have caffeine, a cup of proper coffee or a couple of cups of coffee and a cup of tea a day, I would be so much more anxious, the whole palpitations, panic, those kind of things. I am a decaf kind of gal, and occasionally I'll have caffeine after I've had a huge meal. But really important, and same with sugar. We know that sugar impacts your gut health, impacts your mental health, your immunity, all those kinds of things. So just think, okay, because it's really easy when you're really anxious to try and deal with that anxiety by kind of numbing out and eating sugar instead of dealing with that uncomfortable feeling that is this thing that we call anxiety, this anxious experience. It's really easy to kind of just eat our way through that. But often that could be fueling part of the problem as well. So it's worth looking at sugar and caffeine. How's your relationship with it? Are you, because a lot of what people come to me, clients, and they might have IBS and they are maybe on antidepressants and struggle with panic attacks, for example. They're maybe having just a lot of refined sugar, natural sugars, and then carbohydrates in the day. And that might not be setting them up for success. So it's worth just assessing. Everyone is different. But if you're like, okay, right, Kezia, what are some of the practical nutritional things I can do to help with anxiety? The first thing would be to balance your blood sugar. So deal with breakfast. And the next thing would be experimenting with caffeine, ditching it completely, seeing if that helps, and then assessing your relationship with sugar. Okay? Really, really important. So those are all things you can do. Your sleep, balancing your blood sugar, knowing you're not alone, talking to people about it, supporting your gut health so that you can really optimize that neurotransmitter production. And number five, dealing with and experimenting, getting curious around your relationship and how your body responds to caffeine and sugar. Those are some great places to start. There's obviously lots more you can do. When I'm working with clients, we go much more in depth. We might run tests. There's also nutrient depletions, your B vitamins, things like magnesium, doing a gut protocol, all loads of stuff, but those are great places to start. So if you struggle with that, then I hope that that helps. Otherwise, do join me in the Adrenal and Thyroid Summit. If your adrenals and thyroids are off, you will probably be experiencing more anxiety and depression, and I would love to see you in there. Otherwise, I'll see you next week.